That's Joe Newman. And the Joe Newman Quintet with Wednesday's Blues. Newman, of course, is on trumpet. Frank West is on tenor sax. Tommy Flanagan on piano. Eddie Jones on bass. And Oliver Jackson on drums. This is from Newman's 1960 album, Jive at Five. I like that. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off. That's all that we do. We pick up from where we left off. It's called continuity, I think. Some people refer to it as a big word, continuity. I just say we pick up from where we left off. And where we left off was with a discussion on a principle that has held since this country was founded, and founded, it insists, on Judeo-Christian concepts, ethics, rules, laws. And that makes the United States very distinct from many other countries, because we are founded on Judeo-Christian concepts and precepts. Should we continue to maintain that that posture that we are founded on Judeo-Christian concepts and precepts? Is that a good thing to boast about in these times, or was it ever? What does it mean when a country takes it upon itself to say to the world, we are a Judeo-Christian country? What does that mean? How is that meant to impress the rest of the world? And first of all, is it true? Is it true? Is it accurate? And in what ways do we see it reflected, this concept, this philosophy that we are a Judeo-Christian country? I don't know what that means. So I thought we should explore that a little bit more. We started, and of course, we had to leave it where it was yesterday, but we are picking it up again today. This is a very, very significant point, except, you know, we say it, or you read it. It's a casual statement, a Judeo-Christian ethics, even people say, or principles. I want to ask, and I hope we can get an answer, what are those Judeo-Christian ethics that the country is founded on? And how do we relate that phrase to what we actually experience every day? If this were, in fact, a Judeo-Christian country, what would we experience as Americans, or as people living in the United States of America? And in what ways would it be different from life anyplace else? Where did this concept come from? How has it been used to control our society and what people think about America? I mean, we don't think about it anymore because it has become such a part of the nomenclature of American life. You live in not just the United States of America, but the Judeo-Christian United States of America. I have no idea what that means. Do you? Have you thought about that? In the last couple of weeks, this has hit me like a ton of bricks. We are a Judeo-Christian society, according to popular belief. I have no idea what that means. So it must mean something to actually state it, to formulate it into our regular understanding, our day-to-day understanding of what it means to be American, or what America means. So we ought to get to it in terms of what you understand it to be. Is it important? Does it change your orientation, political, social, economic, whatever? Does it affect the way you navigate your day, every day, that you are living in a Judeo-Christian country? How do you think people see us as a country, this Judeo-Christian country? Have we distinguished ourselves as a country based on our holding on to these ideas of Judeo-Christian precepts? How do we see these things reflected every day? How are we impacted by that? And what of people who are neither Judeo nor Christian? Should they pack up and leave? Do they belong in a country that states emphatically, well, you're Buddhist, we're not talking to you, this is not about you. So you might as well start searching for someplace else to live more compatible with your Buddhist beliefs. Or you're a Zoroastrian. I have no idea what Zoroastrians believe. But it can't be the same that Judeo-Christian beliefs, it can't be the same thing. It must be different. So do we hold on to this concept of a Judeo-Christian country deeply rooted in Judeo-Christian philosophies and principles? That's what it says. I didn't make it up. That's what the country says. That's what the United States says it stands for. Is it time to take a look at that? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's continue the conversation from yesterday. Daryl, you're calling in. Nice to have you. What is your thinking on this?
Greetings, Utrecht. Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York. We miss
you. Okay.
Okay, with regard to Judeo-Christian, actually you could add Islamic in there if you wish.
I don't want to add anything. I'm saying specifically how the country defines itself and its thinking. It says it's Judeo-Christian in concept and it relates to those concepts of Judeo-Christian thinking. I don't know what that is.
Do you want me to define Judeo-Christian for you, or do you want me to define why the United States calls itself a Judeo-Christian country?
Well, you take your pick, whichever you wish to tackle.
All right, so Judeo-Christian, in the context that the founding individuals that established this particular government comes from the believed that the Abrahamic religions, the gentleman out of Ur of the Chaldees who first had conversations with the God of Abraham, that's where that comes from. So the founding individuals believed in a form of Christianity that was derived from the teachings of the Christian Bible, which in total includes a covenant with a deity that derived out of the Hebrew tradition, which is Abraham and Moses, then ends and is is fulfilled by the Christian tradition, which is the belief that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah foretold in the Old Covenant. So the founders of this government believed in that particular spiritual system, and therefore they're claiming people claim that the government, although it has it refrained from establishing a state religion per se, because there were different Protestant sects that were part of the founding individuals, that they all had a common book that they based their theology on. So they claim it to be.
I'm trying my best not to laugh out loud, because, man, you are struggling with this.
There are a couple of reasons why I'm struggling. One, I'm trying to keep it positive. In English, it's very challenging to fail to use negatives when you explain something. And so part of that struggle is that. So I apologize for being...
No, don't apologize.
So you did as
good a job as you could. But what I'm trying to suggest to you is just listening. They don't know. And it's made up. This Judeo-Christian concept is put together as another tool in the toolbox to give a nation an identity. And this is the identity that they chose, a Judeo-Christian. And therefore, no matter what your orientation is in terms of religion, this is what you ought to remember this country is founded on, except that we can't figure it out.
Well,
do you feel confident that you understand what the Judeo-Christian concept is?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that the country is correct in assigning the Judeo-Christian concept to its identity, national identity?
Yes, in the context that you have to include the misinterpretation by one of the Christian sects and how the United States bases a lot of its law on the Catholicism bull of what is it called? I'm trying to think of the bull. It's very famous. It slipped my mind right now. It has to do with when the Pope divided the territories in the quote unquote New World among the European powers.
So we have the Pope in it too. The yes. Pope is a universal political person and can and has the authority, presumably given by God, to divide up the world.
In the European mind, yes.
Okay. See, we're not getting very far. I don't know if you're feeling dizzy because we're going in circles, but I feel dizzy, and I still have no better clarity about what is a Judeo-Christian America? Where did it come from? Why just those two? In other words, if you're neither Judeo or you're not Christian, are you supposed to be here?
That is allowed. That's the tolerance of the Constitution.
Thank goodness for that. They allowed us.
Well, actually, I wouldn't be thanking anyone for that allowance in the context that in the perversion of the Judeo-Christian tradition, that allowed them to do chattel slavery in a fashion that had been unknown to most humankind. So
in other words, you have no clear answer to the question today.
If you say so. I thought I was doing relatively well.
Do you think you have a clear answer, a clear understanding of this?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we do have a difference of opinion there. But
all right.
I thank you for wrestling with it, with us witnessing the labor that you're putting into trying to answer this question.
I just wanted to say one more thing, Eutrice, if it would be all right.
Sure.
All right. One, I'd like to send my condolences out to the Ford family because Glenn Ford passed, and he was a titan with regard to providing information to the community.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Jackie from Brooklyn. What do you understand this concept to be, and how does it reflect itself in the national psyche?
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and the listening family. Okay, Eutrice, the question itself is about a six-layer fold question. It combines theology, political history, and all kinds of things. I think Daryl did an excellent job trying to unpack your question. I understand the question to be America as has been propagated, presents itself as a Judeo-Christian nation. And you're asking, does that square with historically and present day activities of this country? But the gentleman before Daryl, he pointed out that the so-called discovery of this shores, or part of the Western Shores, through European explorers, was already had a political bent, already had a political motivation to it, because they were sent, the explorers were sent out to find new lands. For the various crowns that they were, whatever flag the ship was flying under. So, you know, we know the history about that, Portugal, Spain, and France and all of that, and the influence and the impact of the Pope. But given the what initially started out as like Calvinism and Protestantism, all of that has always been cloaked in a form of deceit. In that when the explorers arrived into the quote-unquote New World, they already found existing peoples occupying the land who had their own culture, their own theology, their own everything. And they set about destroying that so that they could be the occupiers of the land. So, I mean, foundationally, we know that these things were set up under the guise of Judeo-Christian. I think basically what the legal system allegedly started out by taking certain concepts from religious concepts and then tried to employ them in a legal system. So that's where you get some of the laws of today. But it doesn't mean that the application of the laws are even administered correctly or honestly. And it doesn't mean that peoples from other parts of the world who have come here, who are not part of the Judeo-Christian milieu, have not been treated correctly or wrongly or in an oppressive manner or disregard to their religious freedoms. But this is how America likes to wrap itself in that cloak. So that I don't think now in 2021, many people throughout the world even see America as a Judeo-Christian nation. But that's the, I'm trying to give you the short version. This is what the founding people
I hear you.
Yeah, I understand why you're laughing. But
do you think you understand what it is and in what ways you can tell that the United States is a Judeo-Christian country?
The only thing I can think of offhand is some of the written laws, some of the statutes are based upon some of the Judeo concepts. But this is, I want to tell you a wonderful story and then we get off the air. Many years ago, I asked Dr. Ben, would he write a book about the non-Western concept in law? And he said, no, you write the book. I said, no, Dr. Ben, I'm trying to say to you that if one starts in law school, they start out with England and the Norman and the Saxon. And there was many, many codes way before the Normans and the Saxons in England, starting with the Hammurabi Code and many other codes from other cultures. But because of the people that came here and invaded and founded the so-called existing legal and political structure that we live under, those kind of things were never introduced to people. So, I mean, this is a, your question is like deals with legal theory, ancient history, theology. It's a wonderful question, but I mean, you could do a postgraduate course just on this question alone. But what I'm trying to say to you is that it's how it has been, it meaning the concept. How has the concept been presented to the public and to the world? And that's sort of like how the cloak that this country likes to address itself or present itself as. It doesn't necessarily make it a fact. Does that help any?
Well, a little bit, yes.
Okay, I hope we're certainly getting near to what the...
We're still wrestling with the basic question. What is it?
What the Judeo-Christian concept is that the structure and the laws of and the culture of a certain society are based upon certain theological principles of two faiths. And that, okay, that's what my answer is to that basic question. Now, the second question
is, it fair? Let me just ask you, right, because you gave an answer and I want to ask a question based on your answer. Should the United States continue to refer to itself as a Judeo-Christian country?
Okay. I'm going to give you a Malcolm X quote. Because a cat has kittens in the oven, it does not make them biscuits. Okay? So what's incumbent upon all of us is to recognize and be very much aware of what is a concept and what is a fact and what is a reality. So there's all kind of concepts flying around in this society. But does that make it a fact? And then the next part is, how does that impact our lives? Is it a reality for us, for many of us, that we live in such a society? So that's all. I'm sorry I have to answer your question with questions, but I think it's a wonderful question, and you have a very interesting way of bringing questions to the public, and I appreciate that. So I hope I've been helpful.
I appreciate you calling in and contributing. I really do.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so
have
much
a great
for
day.
Your call today.
Thank you.
James from New York, what say you about this Christian, Judeo-Christian business?
I'll tell you. It's that we should be a Christian society, because that Christian means good, and all the religions, good. But now that individuals have believed their lies, the evil, that they put their name as the Christianity as a form of hiding to sneak closer to our wallets of life. So they're just saying they are, but we should be, because all a Christian means is good in the end. Don't let them hide there. They're hiding, like Gary and the other one, as the medical staff, right, in the ambulance. Grown, that's what I believe. So we should be. They're hiding.
But
that name.
You're not quite answering the question. What do you understand the Judeo-Christian principles to be, that the United States says this is our system, a Judeo-Christian system? What does that mean to you?
It means that there are hiding as someone who's good because they're scared, and that's where they've been put by the people, when they're not, unless they are, because they haven't been living up to that name.
But you haven't said what it is.
And
how do you see it? How do you define it?
Define what?
The Judeo-Christian concept.
As being good, and everything that's good, as best as you can, and love.
All right, thank you so much for contributing today.
Thank you.
Ibarra from Harlem, you're on the air. What is the meaning?
Greetings,
of...
Greetings,
hello. What does it mean that you're living in a country guided by Judeo-Christian concepts?
How I see it is that they have been given the God-given right, the legal right to enforce, authorize, expel, admonish, excommunicate, denunciate, and own any sovereign territory that they so claim and discover as a group. And how we see that they were talking about the doctrine of discovery that was issued in the 1100s. But how we could see it today, we could see it in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. And the bridge is the concept. Those people really believe that their vote is the only vote that matters. Everybody else outside of their group is not Judeo-Christian. And this is why you see the Republicans saying they were visitors. Because this is their land as described by the Eurocentric conglomeration of them coming together, saying that when we plant our flag, then by law and by God's grace, it is ours. So from then to now, we could see their justification. And the trumpetettes are all going all over the country. And who do they have as you know, their sanctity is Christianity. So it's the same concept. And anybody else is an other. And the best you could do is assimilate. That's the best offer.
To what degree are you consciously affected by the fact that you live in a country professing Judeo-Christian principles?
Well, I've been blessed that I was born in the 50s, so, you know, I had the opportunity to sit under Dr. Ben and all of the greats, you know, so that brought forward an Afrocentric understanding of life. Because there are two different, well, there's more than one. There's more than the Euro, the Judeo-Christian ideology. And what has saved me was an Afrocentric perspective that intertwines my spirituality. I use the tools of the ancestors to delineate what is actually happening around me. When I want to investigate the political, I could look at all of our heroes in the past who have described to us what has happened to us as a people who have lost their identity, because we're subjugated in all of its seven sciences as a subculture. And that's official. That's not, you know, these are facts. I see them as facts. If I want to go and look at Black psychology, I have, and get certification, I can only embrace a Eurocentric application when, on another hand, if I go and address it in an Afrocentric way, you won't get any real certification. Dr. Bobby Wright was able to create a true health facility that addressed Black people in Chicago. Why wasn't it duplicated? Because there are willful efforts on every level to annihilate that we do have a history and a past and a socio-political understanding of how we relate to each other. So I've been an outsider and comfortable with it because we understand every generation carries the baton to be able to define our reality.
Should the country suspend this identification, which is ingrained in our psyche as a nation, is it time to revisit this and correct it?
Utrecht, Black history is still not spoken of in America. You know, the intertwining of Black African blood with white folks, Indians, you know, I mean, that is not really discussed, but there's, and you could see in this committee hearing, the only one that could bring a suit was the Black man, because we have a history, and he went back to what, a law from the 1800s to sue Trump and cohorts for attacking them in there. We have a history of struggle and the history of America denying our humanity and our ability to be self-defined and have a rich history in North America by our own deeds.
Well, thanks for your lesson today. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrice. And remember, I used to be in your class when I was in college for journalism. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Brother David, from Brooklyn, the People's Democratic Republic of Brooklyn.
Yes, thank you very much. Good afternoon to everyone. As I look at your question, I think about advertising. And anybody who is getting into advertising for a particular entity, and in this case, the United States of America, is going to think of a good slogan or saying to project the image of their place. And I think those who lead in this country think that that's good. You have a Judeo-Christian society, and that's supposed to be good. But I look at that in another way, no different than what I've said before about the bull and the bull ring with the matador and the cape, where the bull follows the cape rather than the matador, to get people's attention away from this saying about Judeo-Christian society, because this society is a society that its real religion is not Judaism and Christianity, but as far as I'm concerned, the real religion of the United States of America is one thing, capitalism and imperialism. So if you can cloak what the United States is doing by talking about Judaism and Christianity and really ignoring all the other religious forms that people have, and you are trying to fool people into thinking that what you're projecting in your advertising is good, then you can go ahead with your imperialism and capitalism and continue in your task of ruling the whole world. I know you have competitors, the Soviet Union and China, but you're still trying to rule the whole world. So you can throw in some religion there, and that sounds good to some people, but that is what this is about. This has nothing to do with scriptures or what's in those books that those religions are based on. It has to do with what I just spoke about, the capitalism, the imperialism. It's an advertising slogan. It's just like, the slogan of liberty and justice for all and all that sort of thing that we talk about that we don't have. And so this thing about the calling it by those two religions, that is in the same category. That is the way I look at it.
Does it affect you in a palpable way that you live in a nation that prefers, insists, as a matter of fact, it has enshrined itself that way, that it is very much a Judeo-Christian country? What does that say to you?
Well, I've lived in the country. I've lived in other countries, but I live there most of the time. And there's nothing about that statement that indicates that people like me and me have been generally treated with justice and liberty for all. And I don't think that that statement about being that type of society has necessarily benefited all the people. People have to keep in mind that the population of this country does not run the country. The elite and powerful in that 1%, they run the country, they own all the divisions of government, and we can get around and talk about things, but that's a subject that no one talks about. No one talks about what the real operation of the country is like. So you can talk about Christian and Judaism and libertine justice for all, and we're free. And even some people I've heard say things like, oh, we're living in a free world, which is ridiculous. And, so you can get attention away from the reality of living in a place that is dominated by, I'll say it again, capitalism and imperialism, and you don't have democracy, because there's no way that you can have the type of capitalism we have and have democracy. The only place that comes close to that is, as I said before, the northern European countries. So we talk about things like that. Religion, that sounds nice, but it doesn't mean other than words. I remember when I was coming up, they used to talk about cigarettes. There wasn't a cough in a carload. So you come up with these statements about religion and various things that are meaningless, and it gets your attention away from what is really going on, and it has fooled most of the people in this country and many in the rest of the world.
Thank you, Brother David. As usual, a very thoughtful presentation. Thank you. Okay. 888-874-4888. I'm sure it might have occurred to you that the question comes to you from an oblique angle, and you probably haven't even given it much thought all of your life. You haven't thought about it. And now that a question is posed, you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it, and you realize that it is not a simple question. As simple as it sounds, it is not simple. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht. How are you doing?
Okay, Ali. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I hope that all the your listeners are doing as well. Doing well as
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's a good thought.
Yeah, I have been thinking about what you said. I listened to the program yesterday, and I have been thinking about the court system here, that when you go into the court system and you're going to testify, whatever, they give you that Bible. And I'm thinking about that Judaism and Christianity that I know of right now are the two groups that they use the Bible, either the New Testament, the Old Testament. So right there, when you use the Bible, you are eliminating other groups. And I'm also was thinking about how when this nation was created, they tried to force, actually, the two groups, the African that they brought from the New World, from the Old World, and also, not from the Old World, from Africa, and also the Native American, how they introduced this belief about this God with this Bible. So if you didn't believe in that, you will have to be eliminated. And one of the things that you said yesterday was about that if you're not part of the group, and this is happening when you join a group, if you don't believe in what the group believes, then you are completely eliminated. And this is the belief in, if you are not a Christian and you don't believe in Judaism, then you live in a lot of other groups outside. And you just asked today, can that be eliminated? Sure, it should be eliminated because there are other groups in this country that they're coming, like the Muslim, also the people from India, that they don't believe the same thing that we believe they don't read the Bible. So right there, those groups are eliminated, and including the Native American, because they don't believe if you go around the Americas, a lot of these groups, a lot of Native, they don't believe on the Bible. They have their own belief. They believe in the sun. They believe on Earth, on Mother Earth. So you're eliminating all these groups. And by going, like I started my conversation, by going to the court system and you put in your hands on that Bible, it's almost like you believe of what are you putting your hands into, which is the Bible. I know everyone, like I said, believe in the Bible. So it is the separation. Is the way to have to tolerance with other groups. And this is how this country was formed. Even one of the gentlemen that called your show yesterday, he had no tolerance. The fact of the matter is that he actually, when he called, he just wanted to call. He wanted to take you out of the topic. And he was off topic because he was talking about Biden. So is this tolerance and the thing that these people believe that they become first? And when you're talking about Christianity, I think Christianity take over Judaism. I don't think that the Judaism is as important in the way that it's formed with this question that you're asking. I think Christianity, because no Christianity is not only one group, it's various groups combined, various different forms of religion that belong to that group. So it takes over Judaism. That's what I believe.
All right. Great. Thank you for the tour. It was a very, very satisfying tour to listen to. I like the way you reason about things. You bring a natural understanding to it that we could all relate to. Thank you so much. Jesse from Louisiana, you're on the air.
Hey, Chief.
Yes.
And hello to the PRN family. Love and light to all devout Christians and Jewish people and all people with their belief systems. I mean, everyone has said pretty much and what I was thinking. But my thing is, I mean, Judeo-Christianity has been weaponized and politicized and used for capitalistic gains, as Brother David was talking about. There's no question about it. And the origin of Christianity goes back to Constantine when he hijacked it. I mean, the true Christians were Gnostics. These were people that knew their relationship to their creator. But I like this concept that I was reading by Thomas More. He was talking about a cultural psychology and the impact that these religions have on the people as individuals. And this patriarchal concept of, shooting out guilt and shame and fear. I mean, this is all just about, weaponizing belief systems to capitalize on the people. And I mean, it's really that simple. And yeah, I mean, it's a deep concept. You had me thinking for a while. I had to even go look up, the definition of nation, because I really wanted to know what is a nation. And it is a group of people under one government, usually independent government, sovereign nation. And that means that there are various cultures and various diversities of belief systems. So I really believe that we have missed that America and the colonial settlers that came over here and obliterated the indigenous people did exactly what Israel is doing to Palestine right now. I mean, so I don't know how to come out of that, but seeing it for what it is and the impact that it takes on people and how it affects their health with the stress and the fear mongering. And I see these elderly people, they're suffering, they commiserate, they go to church, they pay their tithes, and they feel that suffering for a cause. And I just don't quite understand that.
Well, that's a whole different subject. It's related, but it's different. I want to know, in your view, should the United States continue to insist to the world that it is a Judeo-Christian country? Is it time to revisit that question and deal with it?
As a democracy, if we're ever going to become a democracy, that will have to be addressed. But we have to become a true democracy first.
Okay. How do we become a true democracy?
Well, first we have to take the lobbyists out of the government, and we have to take the Christian evangelists that run
the house. You're taking us really on a scenic tour today.
Well,
you
asked me a question.
I was looking for a fast enough answer about to come back to the question of what is a Judeo-Christian country? And is there a change from the time when the United States first announced itself as a Judeo-Christian country? Is there something different today? Has it amended that view, or has it, in fact, doubled down on it?
I think they doubled down on it and because they're using it, like I said, they weaponized it and politicized it, and it is their advantage in the so-called free world, which is not free. I mean, that's a very deep question, Atrice, and I wish I had a simple answer, but we have a long, arduous journey ahead of us if we're ever going to get this country as it should be, the land of the free, the home of the brave. You know what I mean? The three main virtues in life are courage, moderation, and justice. And we don't have that.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks so much, Jesse. I'm so glad you called today.
Me too. Thank you.
Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air. What is this Judeo-Christian principle that guides the country?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Eutrice, for letting me in on the discussion. I'd frame my response to you this way with a quote from Alan Turing, who was the inventor of cyber technology. And he was asked all his life before he died many times, can machines think? And his answer was always the same. The question is so meaningless as to be not worth discussing. He said, because we don't know what thought is. We don't even have a working concept of what thought is. So the idea of Judeo-Christian nation, besides being just an empty overgeneralization, if you look at the actual history of where these religions come from, what's unique about them? Well, there are three Semitic religions: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. They all share the same root, and one innovation is they believe in one God instead of many. That's really all the only real difference. And then the text is built around that. So what Christianity are you talking about? How many Christian sects are there in the United States? How many hundreds, maybe thousands of them? None of them agree. Christian scholars and scholars of Judaism and Islam, they all disagree, even on what the meaning of, say, what Jesus was saying, what his message was. So all these different sects came up about it, and David had it exactly right. This is a propaganda slogan. This has no objective meaning to anybody who even casually looks at the history of the subject. I mean, if you're asking, should we identify, or should the, I don't know who you're talking about, politicians should identify us as a Judeo-Christian nation? Well, first of all, if you were accurate, it would be a Judeo-Islamic Christian nation, because that's where they all come from. But we don't like that part, so we leave it out. And it's the same with Christianity. You follow the King James Version, which is pretty recent even in the history of Christianity. You ignore the Septuagint. You ignore the Apocrypha. That was all there. You know, the stuff in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's all part of it. Same authors, same source. We just ignore that. The Christians, just the different sects, ignore it. Okay, but you can call that, you know, you can self-identify with that in some way if you want to, I guess, but you're just in dreamland. I mean, if you want to be accurate, I think what Americans should do, if they actually want to spur themselves to the kind of change your last caller so rightly pointed out, they should identify themselves for what they are, which is media-manipulized, technologized peasants. That's what they are. Some clown gets on a television screen and says, you're a Judeo-Christian nation. And three-quarters of the country believes it. Harvard University has done a study on the U.S. population for many years and their religious beliefs. And it's just off the scale. I mean, to find anything like it, you have to go to, like, a mosque in Iran. 90% of the nation believes God does this and that in their lives every day. And it was something like 85% of the population believes in the devil controlling their behavior. I mean, how are you going to get a population like this to actually take any responsibility for their own social situation? It's almost impossible. As Napoleon said, religion is wonderful stuff for keeping people in line. That's
all
my
right.
case.
We will have to stop there, and I thank you very much for your contribution, but we're out of time. This was a good day because you plumbed the depths of your minds and ours and made quite a difference. It encouraged a lot of thought, and this is what the program is all about. Let's get together and talk some more tomorrow. Thanks so much for today. Bye-bye.